Now, that's why it's important for us today. Something that will happen at the latter day. The dream and the vision on your head were these. Then he told him that there was a great image that he saw. It went way up like a skyscraper in the sky. A great, huge image. Let me give you a quick description. Thou, king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This is verse 31 now. Verse 31. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and the thighs of brass. His legs were of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. And you saw until a stone cut out without hands. In other words, no human did it. Cut out supernaturally by God, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay. Now, notice it didn't strike the head. It only struck the feet. I'll explain that in a minute. And broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together and became as the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind blew it away, and there was no place found from them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. A mountain, I mentioned to some of you yesterday, is used in symbol in the Bible to mean a nation. Became a great nation and filled the whole earth, a great kingdom that'll fill the whole earth. Now, actually, that stone was to be Christ. And Christ at his second coming is going to do that. And that hasn't happened even yet. That is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Now, there's a purpose in this. Here was a Gentile. God had had Israel and Judah to be his nations, and they had both failed him. They had refused to obey the Constitution, or the basic law of their government, which was the law of God, the way of give, the way of outflowing love. And they wouldn't live that way. And now here was the Gentile that had built the greatest world empire, and God was going to give this Gentile king a chance to see if he would surrender to God, and God would then let this Gentile be his servant and put in the government of God over the earth. Now King Nebuchadnezzar is being given a chance like Adam had been given a chance originally. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given unto thine hand, and has made thee, that is this King Nebuchadnezzar, ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. The head of gold then represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, the Chaldean Empire, or it's often called in ancient history, Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. And its capital was the city of Babylon, which is almost destroyed. It's near Iraq, or it's near Baghdad, I mean, today. Now, thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom, another government, another people or nation, inferior to thee. And another third kingdom of brass, which will bear rule over all the earth. Now, that was the image. And as the image comes on down, we find a time sequence. The head of gold was 604 B.C. After that was to come the Persian Empire, and after that, the Greco-Macedonian Empire. And the fourth kingdom, there will be a fourth, and that was Rome. From 31 B.C. on, it shall be strong as iron. Now notice as it went on down, silver is a little stronger than gold, but it is not as valuable. In character, spiritually, they were less and less valuable as time went along. They were degenerating. But in physical power and strength, they were getting stronger. Silver is harder than gold. And brass is stronger and harder than silver. And now iron is stronger and harder than any, but it's less of value. A piece of iron doesn't cost much, but the same size chunk of gold would be worth an awful lot of money today. you see. But pure gold is very soft. It's not strong at all. The fourth kingdom be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces. The fourth then was the Roman Empire that was going to rule over all of these other kingdoms, and they would have been gone. The Persian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, they were all gone. And whereas thou sawest the feet of toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. Now imagine, the toes were the very last part of it, and it is the toes that were to be struck by Christ when he comes, and here's a time sequence of governments of the earth that it's talking about. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And in the toes of the feet, part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly weak. And whereas as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they'll mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now those toes represent the government that I say is going to come to restore the Holy Roman Empire, and they won't stay together. They won't stay together but a matter of days or a few weeks at the most. Because some of them are strong. Germany is pretty strong, but some of these nations are going to be pretty weak. And they won't stay together. Now here's a prophecy of all of this, and if you're going to live to see this happen. And in the days of these kings of the toes, and that hasn't happened yet, and I'm just waiting for that to come to pass. Now, to understand it fully, you've got to go to the 7th chapter of Daniel, the 13th chapter of Revelation, and the 17th of Revelation, put them all together, and then you really understand it. And I don't know anyone else that does understand it. I really don't. And in the days of the kings, of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Now, God has already set up a kingdom in the days of those kings, and that is the government of God in God's church. And he's put me here to organize it, and I'm the instrument he's been using. Now, just remember this. It's more important than you possibly can dream. This is not some fanatic's wild dream. This is the truth. And it's the truth that no one has had for 1900 years on the earth. Set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Of course, now that kingdom won't really be here till Christ comes and he will set it up. It isn't just... But this church is going to go right in and be part of that kingdom. We'll be immortal in that time. We won't be human beings. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. In other words, the governments of Europe and the kingdoms of men on this earth. And it shall stand forever. Well, that's enough. There's more of it, but that covers the story right there in the 2nd chapter. Now then, let's go on to the 7th chapter. And there are things along in the 3rd and 4th and 5th chapters that also fit in with it, but there are more details that we don't need to go into and haven't time to go into and cover all of this, of course, in this one study today. But now in the 7th chapter of Daniel, I'll begin with verse 3 to just save what time I can, because we don't have time to cover every word, of course. Well, I have to begin a little bit in the first verse. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. Now, this is later. Belshazzar was a king that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar. This is after Nebuchadnezzar is dead, that Daniel has this dream himself now. You see, what I just read, the king had the dream, and Daniel told him what the dream was. But this time, Daniel has the dream himself, the young Jewish lad. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven stole upon the great sea. Now you'll find that John has a vision in Revelation 13, and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea while he was standing on the seashore. And four great beasts, or wild animals, came up from the sea, different one from another. Now the first was like a lion. It was only like a lion. It didn't say it was a lion. It was like a lion. And it had eagle's wings. I'm going to skip what I can and just read the essential parts, because I want to just kind of skim through. And it's interesting, if you have the time, to go through every bit of it. But we don't have the time to cover the ground I want to cover in this Bible study. And then, behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. There's another wild animal. Now, you're going to see that that first animal, which was like a lion, which is the king of beasts, represented Nebuchadnezzar, was the same as the head of gold of the statue. The second, which is a bear, is the same as the breast of silver. In other words, he's talking about the four great world empires. The second one then was like a bear. And after this I beheld, I'm down to verse 6 now, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon his back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads. And dominion was given to it. Dominion. See, it's talking about a government that had dominion to rule. The governments that were influenced by Satan, that God told Adam that his children would have these governments. Now, here they are, coming along. These are the main governments that were world governments. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and he had great iron teeth. Now, this iron compares to the iron legs of the other beast. The iron legs were the Roman Empire that had a capital in the west at Rome, a capital in the east at Constantinople. And it was the two, the east and the west, but they were all Roman Empire. I considered the... Now, let's see. And... before it, and there were 10 horns. Now, I want you to notice, the first beast had a head, was like a lion. The second was like a bear and had a head. Now you got two heads. The third beast was a leopard, but the leopard had four heads, and now you got six heads. Now there is a seventh one to come up, and that makes seven heads. But on the seventh one are 10 horns. Now, with that, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Another little horn that came up among these other horns, before whom were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Now, I can tell you who it represented, but I can't take time to go into all of it. The fourth beast, then, was the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire really fell in 476 A.D., and there were three. The little horn is the Roman Catholic Church, and before it there were three that were plucked up by the roots. They're gone. You can't find any trace of them in history. They were the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, and the Vandals. Where are the Vandals today? Where are the Ostrogoths? Where are the Heruli? You can't find them. They were wild animals. Let me go back and read that now. And I beheld until the thrones of these governments now, represented by these wild animals, who had the characteristics of wild animals, not of tame animals, were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit. That is God, the Ancient of Days, and whose garment was white as snow, which is a symbol in the Bible of purity and righteousness and holiness. And the hair of his head was a pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels like burning fire. God has a throne. God is the one who governs the whole universe. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season. The people went on, but their government was taken away and destroyed. You see? Now, verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Christ, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, that is, to God the Father, and they brought him near unto him, they brought Christ near unto God the Father, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations, all the nations of the earth now, and all languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, that is the kingdom of God when Christ will come, and that's going to happen in your lifetime, you younger people. And I've always thought it would happen in my lifetime, and it may if God keeps me alive that long, which he can do if he wants to. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, that's an angel in his dream, and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, or these wild animals, which are four kings, or four kingdoms. Now they represent four kingdoms, starting with the Chaldean Empire of 604 B.C., 604 years before Christ. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The saints are the church. Many of the saints are dead. That includes Peter and Paul and John and Andrew and Philip. They're going to be resurrected. That includes the church today. We're going to be there. I expect to be there. Now, if you like the governments and the way on earth today, and you want the agony as well as the ecstasy, you can have it. I don't want it. You can have it. If you want to be sick at your stomach and vomit and throw up and then go and eat your own vomit, go ahead and do it. I don't want it. I want the way of God, the right way, the happy way. And that's the way I'm going to live. But the saints of the Most High are going to take over all the governments. That's why we have to have government in the church. We're going to rule the rest of the nation. We have to learn how to govern and how to be governed in the church now today. And you'll notice that many of them that have gone out of the church, their whole trouble is they don't like the government. They don't want the government of God. They want the government of man. Then I would know the truth about the fourth wild animal or beast, which was different from all of the others, exceedingly dreadful and so on, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, that little horn, before whom three fell, and of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, which really represented the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints, and in history they have. They put the saints to death. The Catholic Church persecuted and put the saints to death. That's the history of the Catholic Church. That's why God calls her a great whore, full of blasphemies. And the worst thing that even God could call anyone. It's the worst counterfeit that ever happened. Until the Ancient of Days, that's when Christ came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. We're going to do the judging. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, the fourth of these great world-ruling kingdoms, or the Roman Empire. And shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And that's exactly what the Roman Empire did. And the ten horns, now get this, the ten horns out of that kingdom, that was that seventh head now of the Roman Empire, are ten kings or kingdoms that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, that was the papacy now, and after them. But before the bishops of Rome, the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, and the Vandals were cast out and plucked up by the roots. You can't find any trace of them today. They're gone. And shall subdue three kings. That was the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, and the Heruli. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. They call him the Most Holy Father. The Pope is not holy even. That's blasphemy to call him. God is the Most Holy Father. But they call the Pope that. I say that that is blasphemy. And if they had the power, they'd lop my head off for saying that. That's what they would do. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They have changed the calendar. They have changed the time. They've changed the law of God. They've changed the Sabbath to Sunday. That's why they observe Sunday today. And the bishops of the Catholic Church and the cardinals say that you can search the Bible from beginning to end and you can't find a word telling you to observe Sunday. I know, that's what I started to search the Bible for, to prove to my wife the Bible said you shall keep Sunday. It doesn't say it anywhere. You can't find it. I tried and I couldn't find it. But things will be given into his hand for time, the dividing of time. That is, a time is 360 years, and times, in other words, it's a total of dividing a time or half a time, that's the total of 1,260 years, if you figure it out. And it was exactly that long in history. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume it to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, that's earth-wide, the whole earth, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That is God's church, and the saints that are already dead will be resurrected. That'll start back with old Father Abraham and the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New. They'll be resurrected, and the kingdom, the government, will be given to them. An everlasting kingdom and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Now, you see, you've got that as a background. Now we turn on to the 13th chapter of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And the 13th chapter of Revelation ties right up to it. Now, of course, there's a whole time sequence in Revelation. It'd be nice to begin at the first of Revelation. And the second and third are the messages of Christ about the seven epochs and eras of the church, and the fourth shows the fifth shows the throne of God, the sixth shows the opening of the seals, and the seventh and eighth and ninth and so on show the things of the time of beginning of the day of the Lord. The book of Revelation all about the time when God begins to intervene in world affairs. Now, here the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And John is telling what he saw in vision. He seemed to think he was taken in vision to, he was on the island of Patmos when this vision came to him. But the time of his vision, it was set at a certain time, and he was seeing things of about 1934. About 1934. 33 or 34. 34 was the first year there was a full year of the life of the Worldwide Church of God. It was founded in 1933, but it really more or less started in August, but it was not even set up and organized until in October of 1933. 34 would have been the very first year. And that is the time setting of this, and it just all the more gets back to this very church. Very, very significant. Now, John is telling what he saw in vision in the book of Revelation, and the whole thing is about the day of the Lord when God begins to intervene. And that hasn't happened yet. We're just, it's right ahead, just a few years ahead. Maybe 3-4 years, but very, very close. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, now again a wild animal, rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Here are your 7 heads and 10 horns all over again. And you see, there were the 4 parts of the image in Daniel 2, and the 10 toes instead of 10 horns. You see how these things all fit together. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy, showing that they're of Satan the devil, and they're very evil. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. It wasn't a leopard, it was just like a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, that's the strongest part of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion, that's the mouth is the strongest part of a lion. And the dragon, which is the devil, gave him his power. Now you turn over here into the 12th chapter. Oh, turn back. The 12th chapter. It says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought on his angels. Let's see. But the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So you see, the dragon is the devil. I don't have to, it's not my interpretation. The Bible just says so in plain language. I just give you what the Bible says, not my interpretation. Now this beast was like a leopard. A leopard's body is quick and cat-like, quicker than any animal. Any big animal, wild animal. His feet were like the strongest part of a bear, his feet. And his mouth, like a lion, the strongest part of a lion. And the dragon, or the devil, gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. God said, go form your own governments, but the devil is the one who has led men to form these governments, and they're all based on get, not give. They're all based on competition. They're all based on everyone trying to get for himself. That's the world you live in. And I saw one of his heads. Now, the 7 heads and 10 horns, remember. One of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That's the 7th head. That was the Roman Empire. And the wounded to death, the death of the Roman Empire, was 476 A.D. Now remember, 476 A.D. Any history will give you that. Check it up. You don't have to take my word for it. And his deadly wound was healed. It was healed in 554. When the Pope at Rome had Justinian, who was emperor over at Constantinople, come to Rome and reform the Roman government in the West, and now they call it the Holy Roman Empire because the Pope sat on top of the whole heap. And it was a union of church and state beginning 554 A.D. Now, remember, 3 of the first governments, the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, and Vandals, have been plucked up by the roots. They're gone. It leaves 7 more, doesn't it? The first of those was Justinian, the first of those 7. I saw one of the beasts, as it were, wounded to death. That was the original beast. Let's see. And they wondered. They worshipped the dragon, or the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? That's what they will say. The United States of Europe will come up and it'll be a stronger power than Russia. It'll be a stronger power than the Soviet. It'll be a stronger power than the United States. I don't know things that are happening just since Election Day 3 days ago. It may be a little longer than I thought before all this happens. Maybe I'm not going to live to see it. I don't know, but you can be sure it'll happen. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. That is the beast. The mouth given to him is that of the Pope, speaking great things. It isn't that the beast or the ruler, the emperor, had the mouth speaking great things. That mouth was the papacy. And blasphemies, because they call the Pope the Most Holy Father, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, that began in 554, and it lasted 1,260 years, 42 months, counted out. It began in 554. It ended at Waterloo, where I was for lunch day before yesterday. Napoleon. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Napoleon met his Waterloo, as they say, his final defeat at Waterloo in 1814. That's exactly the 42 months of the Bible, or 1,260 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, which the Catholic Church did do, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, different nations speaking different languages. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now that is coming to pass yet again that this is talking about. Shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, all except truly converted Christians. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with a sword will be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. Now, a lamb is a symbol of Christ, a tame animal. Christ is called the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. They used to sacrifice a lamb. And Christ's life was sacrificed for us. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, to use a Bible expression. And he had two horns like a lamb. Now this other beast actually is a wild animal coming up out of the earth, but he had two horns like a lamb, and a lamb is a tame animal, but the animal is a wild animal. But he spoke as a dragon. He pretended he was the servant of Christ, or in place of Christ. Actually, vicar of Christ, which is the Pope's title, means in place of Christ. It means they've knocked Christ off, and the Pope is in his place and has taken Christ's place. And Christ is kicked out. That's what that really means. So they worship Mary instead of Christ. And here's this other beast now. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. The first beast before him was the revived Roman Empire, 554 to 1814. And it was the papacy that exercised the power and sat on top of the heap. You see? And causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. He only caused it. But he caused them to worship the Roman Empire, whose deadly wound was healed, the Holy Roman Empire. And he, which is now this papacy, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And that is yet to happen. And you're going to find that happening soon. When you do, remember I told you. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles that he had the power to do in the sight of the beast. saying, and that's what the Pope will do in the sight of the man that'll be the ruler of the revived Holy Roman Empire or the United Europe that is coming up. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now an image is a replica and a representation, a copy, an image. And the beast is a government. And that image is a government. And it is the Vatican, which is a government. And it is a government as well as a church. Do you realize that? Now, they have a guard that are called the Swiss Guards. That if we get to stop off in Rome, you will see the Swiss Guards marching all around St. Peter's in Rome. And Rome is both church and state. And nations send their ambassadors to Rome, not to the church, but to the government. And Vatican City is a little, tiny, small government in part of the city of Rome. And it itself is a separate city, a separate government. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, which now is the Vatican, and the civil government of the Roman Catholic Church. The image of the beast, which is this Vatican, should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He is not going to kill them. He causes them to be killed. He will pronounce them heretics, and the civil government soldiers will put them to death. That's the way they used to do it. Hundreds of years ago, in the old the civil Roman Empire used to do that. And he, which is the same papacy, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand and in the forehead. And that is the observance of Sunday instead of the Sabbath. And I can prove that. That'll take longer than I've taken in all of this so far in this study, much longer. But I do have it. I have it all written. I'm going to revive it again and get that booklet out again. In the right hand or in their foreheads. In other words, the right hand symbolizes labor. This is all symbolical. The forehead is in your mind. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You won't be able to do business or buy or sell anything. It's going to be a terrible time. We won't be able to keep the Sabbath if we're still here. That's why the Bible shows that this church, this Philadelphia era, is going to be taken away where we'll be clear out of their jurisdiction. And if the Bible shows us any place we're going to go, it's down in the wilderness of Petra. But I'm not sure that's it. And I'm not sure the Bible shows us where it'll be. But if it does, that's the place. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666.